This is Life Talk, where we tell it like it is. Life Talk is motivational, helping you get to the next level in life. Life Talk is educational, to broaden your knowledge. Life Talk is inspirational, to get you fine-tuned to start doing what you love doing. Life Talk, sponsored by CamerEducation.org. And here's your host, Marietta Kammerer.
Hello and welcome to Life Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta, and tonight I'm bringing a very special program to you. Nice and easy, as you can tell from our song, opening song. It's about my journey of conquering the fear of public speaking, and it could be similar to what you're going through. And no matter what age we are, under 50, over 50, it's all about making our dreams come true. It's about facing our fears, and as we face them head on, they are no longer a threat. And it is a journey, let me tell you, and be prepared to do the work. And be patient. Public speaking can be a nightmare to many people. It can happen in the workplace where the manager experiences panic attacks at the thought of making a presentation to her or his supervisors, superiors. It can happen at home where the job seeker becomes emotionally distraught before going on a job interview. It can happen at a party where the possibility of meeting someone is curtailed by butterflies in the stomach and sweaty palms. We will get started here shortly, but I do have some announcements that I'd like to share with you. The Camilla's book, Teaching Life Skills, great for kids, parents, and teachers. The book comes with its own tote bag. It's a $45 donation. Check out kmareducation.org or thehealingmindmagazine.com. We're raising funds for our educational programs and really appreciate your help. So this is also listed on kmareducation.org or thehealingmindmagazine.com. And, of course, all our radio programs you can find in our podcast. They're called Life Talk with Marietta Podcast.com and much more podcasts, interviews. And just check it out, Life Talk with Marietta Podcast.com or thehealingmindmagazine.com. Click on the link. I want to bring your attention to the farmtoheart.org. I just had a great interview with Kristen Ledge the other day about her animals and the farm. So it's very, very lovely. So check out the interview, the farmtoheart.org with Kristen Ledge. Now, next Sunday, September 27th, we're not on due to the Yankee playing, and we're returning October 4th, if I'm correct, Richie. Yeah, he's nodding, Richie. The engineer's nodding. I would like you to follow us on Facebook, Life Talk with Marietta, or Marietta Kammerer. Like us and be our friend. We need all the friends we can get. We never turn down a friend. Well, you know, there's certain restrictions, right? You got to be a real friend. You got to be an existing person. That's what I meant by that. We would love to have you. On Instagram, please look for The Healing Mind Mag and Life Talk Marietta. So Instagram, The Healing Mind Mag and or, meaning, Life Talk Marietta. And my last announcement is if you have skills and talents, I want to know about it. Share them with us. Contact me under info@kmareducation.org. That's spelled like Kmart without the T. kmareducation.org. So I'm all finished. I am all finished with our announcement, and Richie the T will get our program started. Thank you.
The best gift of a lifetime for your children are life skills. Start early with The Camellias, A Dream with Wings, a charming book for ages 3 to 10 by Enid Nivra. Help support KMAR Educational Children Programs with your donation of $45 and get The Camellias book and tote bag. Order your book now, kmareducation.org.
Oh, we have a double whopper here. Well, the topic tonight, the fear of public speaking. And I want everybody to know, I only have so much time, so I'm not trying to do a seminar. I had to pretty much, what I experienced in 35 years, I had to really put down, so I bring my point across and everything. And I have till about 7:30. We're going for a break then. And then after the break, I have a guest coming on. Her name is Teresa Crissy. So I'm going to get started. I'm going to go right down and go to my notes. Now, we have 2020. And back in the 60s, 70s, or 80s, people weren't making YouTube. I was trying to look up when YouTube really started, but I, you know, we started the program, so I don't know that. If anybody knows it, please call me, 333-9422. When did YouTube start? But anyway, the point I want to make, we have YouTube with great videos, and people are narrating their own experiences of their trips around the world. They are sharing their skills and talents on gardening, how to restore antique cars, trips to the wilderness, et cetera, et cetera. The music they wrote, the music that they're playing, or how to take care of cast iron pans. So I absolutely love what I come across and how people are presenting their skills and talents. I love it. You know, some of them are a little, you know, they're at the beginning of their journey. But overall, I love everything that I've watched. Also, downsizing, living in an RV. So it doesn't matter what the subject is there. And I love how the people are being natural and how they're presenting their skills. Because it requires a dialogue and storytelling. Some of the dialogues I have witnessed are absolutely great. People are natural. They're standing and walking with the camera and are very funny and entertaining. You know, they're walking the wilderness or wherever they're going with the big stick, and they're talking and smiling and laughing. And I said, boy, I wish I could do that. I said, you know, so I bought myself a stick 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Didn't do any walking yet. But anyway, it is informative what they're doing, to the point, and very, very lovely. You can detect who has had training for a while, and some are still new at it, and what they're doing. So, because it's just between them and the camera, and they got that down pat. I admire that. I haven't done that yet. So, but if you take that same person, you put them in front of a live audience or on radio, it may be totally different. It may be a totally different thing from, you know, for them. Why? Well, I tell you, now the inner dialogue that we all have, it comes to play. They may fear of not knowing the answers to the questions that they're being asked. They are in a different environment. They're not in control. So, somebody else is in control. Remember, their experience is between themselves and the camera. And that has to be learned, too. It's not that easy. But it's still a wonderful accomplishment. It is learning by doing over and over again, no matter what we want to do. Or they may just be fine. You know, that can be, too. But being able to speak on command and telling your life story takes practice. It's mental training. And we need patience for that. And we need to put ourselves in a certain environment where this happens day in, day out, day in, day out. So let me talk a little more about the inner dialogue. The fear may happen way, way back in the classroom when we were kids, where the student prays that the teacher does not call him or her to answer a question. So that really, when I read that, I said, that's me. So when I was a student, it happened to me all the time, whether I knew the answers or not. Just as my name was being called or it was my turn to answer, I could not say a word. That was it. My heart was racing. I felt sick, and the kids laughed at me. And this happened over and over again. I could not present myself. In the classroom, I'm talking about in the classroom. So later I was asked to get in front of the class and present my homework that I hadn't done. And that was torture, let me tell you. So it was payback time by the teacher. And my peers had a field day. And there were only certain teachers. And I remember when I was in the classroom, the teachers that I liked, I paid attention. And I learned very quickly. And some of the other ones, I just, you know, I wasn't interested in the subject, but I'm getting ahead of myself. We're talking about the inner dialogue. What do you really think goes on in a little person? When kids are laughing, kids make fun, because kids are brutal. And my inner dialogue was, you're not smart enough. You're afraid to ask when you don't understand the spoken word. I was afraid. I was really afraid to ask because at first I did. And very quickly the kids chimed in and started laughing. And it was an ongoing thing. Also various subjects I wasn't even interested in. But one just, I had a problem understanding the meaning of the intangible words. I couldn't understand what was said. I had no connection or interest. So I also want to point out, teaching is an art. Not everybody can teach. So, and as I got older, you know, in my early 30s, and I would go to seminars, I would meet the instructor first. Before I paid my money, I wanted to make sure that I wanted to sit in that classroom, in that seminar. I want to be able to like the person because that's a big trigger to me. Why would I want to sit and pay and I don't even like the person? I don't like their style. Why would I? Because as an adult, I have a choice. I didn't have that choice when I was little. So at some point, it must have gotten boring to the teachers and they just left me alone and I labeled myself, you can't do it. I was the one that put that label on you can't do it. I sat back in the class, and I was safe from any questions during the school day. So we also had a class project at some point that I remember. We had to interview a person and come up, first of all, with a story, with questions, and then interviewed. We had to interview the person. A person we picked of our choice could be aunt, uncle, and or a stranger. And I did that, and I failed as well. So I like to point out how all of this fear is carried forward into our adulthood and work life. Well, here it comes. Again, the fear dictates, let's say, the social situations. The inner dialogue was, you don't know enough about subjects as people have certain conversations, so you say nothing. You're intimidated by people that can talk about just about anything. You've met people like that. You know, they have a well-rounded life experience. It's about life experience and interest and what you experienced. And also wanting to converse that. Conversation has to be learned, you know? So, and I said to myself, boy, I wish I would be like them. And also, it was very hard for me to connect to people. Fear of people laughing at me. So if I kept silent, I was safe. But my nature did not have it. There was something else in store for me. And in the workplace, in various meetings, just when I was when it was my turn to introduce myself, just to say my name, I panicked and I fell. I felt ill for the rest of the day. That's how much it affected me. Now, does that all sound familiar to you? I bet it does. I bet it does. So, I have to say, I learned after graduating high school, I went into an accounting apprenticeship, paid apprenticeship. And most of my work life, or all my work life, has been here in the United States, 1969. So going on a job search, for some reason, I always felt okay to offer my know-how. I think I had more guts the very first time I went for a job interview, and that was at Lewis Brandman & Sons, the paint store in Norwalk, for $90 a week in accounts payable. But I went to Snelling & Snelling at the time, a job agency, and they would have certain jobs listed. You would go to them, they interview you, and they send you out on different positions. And as I got a little more fluent in my work life, I'd like to share one incident where the headhunter sent me out to a place in Stamford, and it was a full-charge bookkeeping position at a big company. And I walked into HR, I sat down. The first thing the guy said to me, he gave me a quiz question. How to post to general ledger. That's what it was all about. So people in accounting, they know exactly what I'm talking about. And I looked at him and I said, well, I don't have that answer. And he said, right away, he said, would you please excuse me? And he asked me to leave. I was devastated. And I called up the agency and I said, let me tell you what happened. And she said, you know, Marriott, I didn't have a chance to tell the man that you didn't quite have that experience and you would take a less salary. And I didn't have a chance to tell him that. And you know what? I was devastated after that. It took me weeks to recuperate from that, to take up, you know, have the courage again to go look for a job again. Are you kidding me? Do you think today I would depend on anybody looking for anything for me? I learned how to trust myself. But this is what happened. That was in the 70s. So, of course, I trusted that person. She was a very nice person, but maybe she couldn't connect with him. So companies don't have time to train somebody. If it's a training position, they say so. Hey, it's like that today. And it was the same thing in the 70s. I think it was a misjudgment on her part. Yeah. But I did the suffering. But I have always picked up myself and went for it again, not right away. So I can totally understand a lot of people have problems with rejection, and I still do. But I can recuperate from it quicker. But here's the thing. I don't even anticipate rejection. I prepare myself. No matter what I do, I prepare myself because I know I only have one shot at it. And that's the key, the preparation. So wherever you go, wherever whoever you're telling your story to, you got to be prepared. You got to know who you're talking to, what they're doing, how long they've been in business, what their unique selling point is, and who they get involved with charities and this, that, and the other, and really show interest in that industry. That's key. And I do that religiously. When I have a new person that I'm interviewing, I know everything about them before I even call them up. The key is being prepared, knowing everything. And you do that. Because as I'm doing my research work, I have an opinion. I form an opinion. That's very important. I want to understand is that person right for me? And so forth. But anyway, that was a situation I learned from. And I guess if I hadn't experienced it, who knows, you know, how it would have turned out. But it crushed me, paralyzed me for the next interview. So the 14 years of accounting as an employee, as a full-charge bookkeeper, as a manager, I also learned that I learned very fast. And when I don't understand something, I have the courage to ask till I get it. So that other person, that other person better have the means, the understanding to really break it down, you know, if it's something that's, you know, I really don't get it. That happens from time to time, especially when I was younger, you know. So, what I learned, hey, I learned fast, training on the job very fast, and I learned a lot about various accounting system and management and so forth. That was my 14 years. But I knew accounting wasn't going to be it for me. So I have a nature. I need to make something happen every day. I need to constantly learn new things. I thrive on it. So I entered the finance world, the insurance investment world in 1984, and I became a six-figure earner. And I stayed in there for 18 years. So, and that was really my environment that I knew nothing about, and it was a real test and platform for what I needed to learn. So, the intangible arena, I learned to find new clients daily, weekly. I mastered that, and a lot of people have problems with that. You know, they don't like to make appointments. They don't like to talk to strangers. They don't know how to put a dialogue together to talk to somebody they don't know. To me, it's easy. It comes easy. It's like a second nature. So also learning about the subjects, about the industries and business structures and how we can apply tax advantages for various business structures and so forth. So there was a lot to it. Also, I learned I was test frightened. Taking big state tests, I had to overcome my fear. Yeah, I took the test twice. Big deal. State test. Took it twice. The second time I did it, you know, I wasn't going to, you know, there was a week in between, you know, read up again and did it the second time. I don't give up. That's it. I was, you know, prepared. So I got to make it a little shorter because we're going for a break soon. But I have to tell you that six figures didn't come right away. Are you kidding? It took me 5 years to learn how to find clients and learning how to sell. That was the thing, that five year stretch. So, and I want to tell you, you don't make any money. You got to bring money with you when you're in that business. That was the start of my self-employment. But once you got that down pat, boy, I was determined. There isn't anybody out there that would say, hey, she can't do it. Are you kidding? I proved it to myself. I proved it to myself. So, and I really found out what's in me. What is in me? And this is what I'm saying. You have undetected skills and talents inside of you. This is why I'm doing this tonight. I don't have 6-7 guests. I don't need them. Meaning not tonight for this topic. So I do have Teresa Crissy coming on at 7:35 after the break. She has a similar story that she wants to tell, meaning her story, how she started in accounting, and we were 38 years ago in the same employer. We worked for the same employer, Burndy Corporation in Norwalk. People probably remember them. And today she's in the wellness. She's a minister today. It's incredible. And she's going to talk about the public speaking, what she had to learn, you know, from all these different careers, if you will. So, but I can sum it up now. I have tremendous determination. And whatever I don't know, I will find out. That's number one. But 18 years of this successful journey, I learned how to listen. Building my courage, I enhanced my vision, my imagination. I'm certainly self-motivated. I'm goal-oriented. And I take self-initiative. Everybody knows that. Everybody. I'm constantly cranking out new programs and so forth. I just absolutely love it. The creativity can't come quick enough for me, but, you know, I got to be patient. It just takes, sometimes it takes a little time to put things together. It just doesn't, you know, I can't crank it out quick enough. So, and also learning how to handle rejections. So again, the way I learn, I don't even anticipate rejections. I prepare myself. But then if I do get a rejection, and I do get rejections, then I take time to reflect and I say, okay, what didn't work? Why didn't it work? Was it me? Was it the inner, our connection? Did we not like each other? What happened? So I will know the answer. I have to know the answer. And then for me, it's an ending. Everything for me has a beginning and an ending. I said that in one of our shows. And the most priceless puzzle piece that I have, I earned the belief in my own capabilities. I have a very strong and healthy belief system that I can do anything I put my mind to it, anything I'm interested in. So I can make out of an idea something, and I have a very strong background of life knowledge, personal growth, and business. So this is the fast version of 38 years, folks. And all I'm saying to you now, you have talents and skills that you don't even know that you're capable of. Give yourself a chance. We're going through hard times, but this is also the time to take a good look at yourself and listen to your heart and ask yourself, what is it that I want to do? If you come up with the answer, take a step back and find out how you can go about it. If you need help, you can contact me. Go to our website, kmareducation.org, or thehealingmindmagazine.com. By all means, I'd be glad to have a consultation with you. So I'm looking forward to hearing Teresa's story after the break. Mr. Richie.
The next storm is coming. Need tree work done? Call the experts. RA Care Property Service at 203-280-3495. Senior Citizen Discount, 203-280-3495. RAPropertyCareService.com.
I look at people's mind, skills, and talents and build a new career for them. That is my strong asset, experience, and gift, says Marietta Kammerer, Director of KMAR Education. The time is now. When we do what we love doing, we are doing something well. Our best abilities come out. It makes us feel happy and fulfilled. Act now and call for your consultation at 203-505-3660. On the web, kmareducation.org. Sponsored by thehealingmindmagazine.com and kmareducation.org.
Thehealingmindmagazine.com is a professional platform for everyone who started or is wanting to start their journey of self-discovery. Individuals who work with their talents and skills. People who have mastered adversity and have developed a strong resilience. No matter what level a person is at, a strong desire to learn about self, mentally, emotionally, are great starting points. Join the HealingMindMagazine.com community and subscribe. Get ongoing information about Life Talk radio programs. Listen to Life Talk podcasts. Read informative and educational articles and more. Have some ideas? Share them. Info at TheHealingMindMagazine.com. Sponsored by KMAREducation.org. The best gift of a lifetime for your children are life skills. Start early with The Camellias, A Dream with Wings, a charming book for ages 3 to 10 by Enig Nivra. Help support KMAR Educational Children Programs with your donation of $45 and get The Camellias book and tote bag. Order your book now, KMAREducation.org.
Sometimes you don't realize how much something was bothering you
until it's gone.
And then you breathe a big sigh of relief. That's exactly how you're going to feel
after we work our magic at your house.
1-800-GUT-JUNK makes you feel happier in your home.
Cleaner.
Stronger.
And more relaxed.
Like you just stepped out of a hot shower.
And are ready for anything.
Make your home a happy home. We make junk disappear.
All you have to do is point.
Call 1-800-GUT-JUNK.
Or visit 1-800-GUT-JUNK.com.
For over 60 years, Dutchess Restaurants has been the hallmark of quality, quick-service food in Connecticut. Dutchess cooks your food when you order it, not before, with the freshest ingredients, juicy burgers, delicious sandwiches, salads, soups, hot dogs, and more. Why make it yourself? Enjoy fresh food served fast from one of your 14 local Dutchess restaurants. You can drive through, take out, have home delivery, or dine in with limited social distance seating. Visit GoDuchess.com for locations or to place online orders. That's GoDuchess.com.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español?
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely gonna help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et d'où viens-tu?
Now try Babbel for free. Just go to babbel.com to start learning a new language today. That's BABBEL.com.
It's the height of hurricane season in Connecticut. Make an emergency plan before the next storm arrives. Build a travel kit with masks and disinfecting supplies for COVID-19. Know your local shelter and nearest evacuation route. Listen to this station to stay informed. And go to ct.gov/ctprepares for more information. Be prepared and be safe. A message from the Connecticut Division of Emergency Management and Homeland Security.
Do you want to promote your restaurant? Then you need to know about Sweet Deals on WICC 600. Sweet Deals lets you promote your restaurant with no cost to advertise. Email sales at connoisseurct.com and learn more.
For most folks, a comfortable retirement requires steady income. But many people wonder, how can I maintain income once I've stopped working? The Retirement Income Store may be the solution for you.
I'm Davis Scranton. During my career, I found that most baby boomers have done a great job growing their retirement savings, yet many don't know how to convert their savings into steady income. And that is why I built the Retirement Income Store, to help hardworking Americans preserve their assets and establish steady streams of income.
Call the Retirement Income Store at 866-976-9518 for your free retirement income kit with 5 educational tools, including David Scranton's Amazon best-selling book. Plus, you'll be invited to enjoy a free, no-obligation conversation with an income specialist. Call 866-976-9518. That's 866-976-9518.
The Retirement Income Store, where retirees go for income.
Online at theretirementincomestore.com.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm.
Want something special for your next event or business? Try farmtoheart.org, a traveling petting zoo with farm animals and ponies, JJ and Georgie. Petunia the mini pig says to call Kristen at 203-243-0882. That's 203-243-0882 anytime.
Life Talk with Marietta continues on WICC 600.
Elvis is really working tonight for me, isn't he? Thank you for tuning in to Life Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta, and I'd like to bring our guest, Teresa Crissy. She's the owner and founder of Total Balance Life Choice. Good evening, Teresa, and how are you today?
Good evening, Marietta. I'm wonderful. So glad to be here with you.
Great to have you. I know, Teresa, you have been in the corporate world, and 38 years ago, you and I worked for the same employer, which was Burndy Corporation, and we just connected this week through a mutual friend. And you have also experienced reinvention and self-employment. Pardon me?
Yes. I said over and over again.
Yes. Yes. So talk a little bit about your journey, and specifically how you always had to present yourself, how you, the public speaking, and so forth. So it's, you have the floor.
Thank you so much. Yes, when I started out in corporate America, after Burndy, I had gone to SNET back then, and I was reporting directly to the C-level managers, the vice presidents, excuse me, and I had to present financials. I had to present budgets, and I was a mess. I would get sick, I would get nauseous, and it was always right before the meeting, I'd be breaking out in a sweat, and I knew it had to get better than that. And so as time went by, I got more and more comfortable with it, but I wasn't happy doing that kind of work. And 13 years into corporate America, I had an aha moment to say, I gotta be a massage therapist. And I don't know where it came from, but I followed it. And from there, I brought chair massage into corporate America. And it wasn't too long after doing that that I realized not everybody was going to get stress reduction from chair massage. Not everybody was going to do that. So the next thing I had to think about was, how can I reach more people in the corporate world? And what I thought of was lunch and learns. So here I am again, standing in front of people and having to present and having to talk. And I was okay with finding clients and talking one-on-one to VPs of HR or HR directors to get into the corporations.
Yes.
But to think about teaching classes and presenting stress reduction to larger groups of people, again, I would get really nervous and kind of nauseous.
Yes.
But I knew that what was my calling, which was to help people in corporate America, because I had spent 13 years there, and I knew that there was a need to help people do the best that they could.
You were also a numbers girl, right? A numbers with budgets. Yep. And I, the same here. And after I worked with the numbers for 14 years, I said, no. This is not a lifetime thing for me. So, you know, it's handling yesterday's news, with all respect to the accounting world. It just went against my nature. And I was getting sick, too. I was working for Xerox Credit in Greenwich. I was getting sick. The body knows, the mind, the body knows when you have enough. Isn't that the truth, Teresa?
Well, the way I look at it is the body is our last messenger. I think we get messages all the time, and if we listen to them, we don't have to get to that place where our body gets sick. But most of us don't listen to those messages. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we have to be kind of, I want to say, knocked on our head, or just knocked out, or get sick, or whatever. We have to stop. And I think you mentioned, you know, this whole COVID thing. I call it the holy pause, because people have had an opportunity, me included, to stop and say, okay, where am I going? What can I do now? Because my business, as you know, bringing corporate chair massage into the workplace, is not happening anymore. Mm-hmm. People aren't going back to work. So I had to find a way to be able to continue to make a living. And it's been creating virtual sessions. I'm creating classes that I could do online. I am creating keynote speaking that I have a couple of corporate clients that still want to hear some of the classes that I teach in keynote, like mindfulness and meditation talks that I do. And that kind of stepped me up to another level of speaking in front of people. Today I spoke at our church, and although there was only 5 people actually physically there, there were 130 people watching.
Mm-hmm. How did that make you feel? Are you okay?
I was a nervous wreck. I've been doing this now, you know, over 20 years of presenting, but every time I have to do a talk, I get nervous, I get anxious. A couple of people who were there who know me, they're like, how you doing? I said, I'll be better after the talk. And I'm nervous up until after the first minute of standing at the podium and speaking. After that, it just kind of flows, but it's that sick feeling in the stomach, and hoping I say the right words, and hoping I don't stutter or say somebody's name wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these thoughts go through my head of what's going to happen. And usually nothing happens. Once I had a little bit of a wardrobe malfunction, but it wasn't that severe. It was just that my skirt was kind of stuck to my nylons for a little bit. But I found out about it way after I'm watching the video. So I don't stress about those kind of things, as about how I look. It's all about what I say. Am I going to come off as being professional? Are they going to hear me? Those kind of things is what I still get nervous about.
Yeah, I think the inner dialogue we need to focus on more and more and more, because here on the radio, and I've been doing radio for 14 years, and television, I did television for 2 years. So making the film, they have to, I'm very conscious of my looks, what's my best side, and, you know, just from the waist up, and this and that and the other, and oh my God. So my reaction to when I'm in front of a camera is totally different from radio. So here with radio, I don't really have to worry about my looks, because I don't worry about my looks. I worry about, no, I concentrate, that's a better word, I focus on my words, on my mind and what I want to say. But I know when I do the presentation in front of an audience, it's a total different feeling. Here it comes again. What outfit do I pick? Where do I look the thinnest in? Is my makeup okay? And are my teeth white enough? This kind of stuff. Yeah, come on. Yeah. You know what? A lot. Very few people don't even talk about it, but everybody goes through it. Everybody does.
Yeah.
Yeah? Because the audience has enough time to look at you and say, sure, I like her hair color. I wonder where she gets her hair done. Or, you know, she could use a new bra. You know, or, you know, hey, they need new shoes. This kind of stuff, the audience, it does go through people's minds. It's the truth.
Yeah. And that, that's my obsession before I leave the house. Okay. Then once I leave the house to get to wherever I'm presenting, then I start perseverating over what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it. And so, like I said, the nervousness is there. I've kind of learned to live with it and accept it and know that it's going to pass. But it's all a part of saying yes to standing in front of people, making a point, hopefully inspiring people, hopefully changing people's lives. And for me, it's about being on purpose and stepping into what it is I'm here to do.
Yeah.
Because I want to make a difference.
Teresa, you know what I just remembered? I wanted to tell the audience how I lost my fear of speaking on, command. I purposely, once I realized that my fears were for back to the childhood, and I was already an adult now. Once I realized that, and I learned that very quickly in the insurance investment business when I had to present health plans to potential franchise owners. And I couldn't do it. Number one, that particular case, I was new at all of this, so I had a seasoned individual with me. But I knew if I didn't learn public speaking, I wouldn't be able to do the job, and certainly not stay in that business for 18 years. So you know what I did? Over time, I would put myself purposely. Let's say I would go to TV shows and sit in the audience. And I was announced that I would have something to say, let's say if it was a divorce situation, because I had gone through one. So I knew a little bit about that. So, and as soon as the light was on me, I was able to say what I needed to say, you know, in a short period of time. And I did that over and over again. I purposely put myself in situations where I had something, a little something to say, and it was in public. And over time, and I did, when I worked in Germany, Hamburg, Germany, for 10 years, 1990 through 2000, I did the same thing. I did several TV shows, sitting in the audience, just in the audience. And just to challenge myself. When you have fear, you have to challenge it. You have to challenge it. So, and you only know if it's starting to work what you're doing if you're in that environment. And wouldn't you know, 2005 I started on public access, and I said I can do shows. That's not a problem. I knew nothing about setting sets and this and lights and camera, nothing. But I knew the content, the messages that I wanted to deliver, and the shows that I put. I had confidence in that, but I didn't have confidence in announcing it. Hello, my name is. So I had, for the first three times, I had a lady who did the announcement. And now, here's Marietta. And then I was able to take it. And I said, well, she won't be here forever. I said, I got it. And so the fourth time I started doing it, when the red light went off and the green light came on and we were alive, that's what I had to do. And I think we did the public access shows for 1 year. Then I had my own television show. I hired a videographer, and that's how I learned. And then I went over to radio. So, and it's been 14 years. So, but
you were brave. You started out on live TV or in front of a live audience. For me, that I did the lesson and the training through school and through Toastmasters. You know, so I was kind of wetting my feet. You know, that way, I give you a lot of credit for just saying, I'm going to go on TV and answer some questions in front of a live audience. Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Because you know what happens? If I was in a room with five judges now, and I would have to, let's say, I would have to give a presentation, and knowingly that they're going to pick me apart, I have a problem with it right up front. I won't even do it. I can't stand that. I can't stand it. So knowingly that there are five, you know, let's say judges and whatever. Oh, I did this wrong, that wrong. And I can't. No. I don't want that. I can't. So, and I critique myself. I listen to all the programs that I do. As soon as I get them the next day, I listen to it. I want to hear what I sounded like. Did I bring the point across? I could have done better on this and that. How was the interaction? How was the energy with my guests? And you know what? What happens? We're not in the studio now. And it's very difficult to have five guests on at the same time and to have them talk. So it takes extra concentration because, you know, not everybody, you know, knows how to listen and waits till it's their turn, or they're not sure, is it my turn or not? You can't see each other. So that has to be learned, too. I remember Good Morning America when we first started in the virus. They had the first week, they had problems, too. The TV people, because they didn't see each other just on the TV screen. You know, so but then it subsided. Yeah. I think it was after 3 days, something like that, because I watched for that. So there is so much to learn. But you know what? People don't have we don't have to be perfect. We have to be good. But you know what? We're human beings. We make mistakes. So,
right.
Good content and honesty. So. Everybody goes through what we've gone through. At least we started our journey. So, Teresa, hang on. I just want to go for a quick break. And, you know, I want to bring Richie the tea in because we did a little challenge. Can he make a presentation in 60 seconds? So, Mr. Richie D. the tea, just a quick music break, and then we'll challenge him. So we'll be back.
Great.
The Misery, Mystery, and History Challenge, explained in 120 seconds by Richie the T. A man deserving fame. A walking dictionary. Sponsored by the HealingMindMagazine.com.
This is Richie the T for Misery, Mystery, and History. Last week I covered history, so this week I'm combining misery and mystery together. If you like movie thrillers like 1960's Psycho or 1982's Poltergeist, then you will enjoy books by author Dean Koontz. That's Koontz with a K. He has written numerous books where he plays with your mind and makes you think in one direction while the story goes in another. Three of his books that fit the bill are What the Night Knows, where a killer murders four families, is murdered himself, and 20 years later, the crimes are recreated. Second up is 77 Shadow Street, which deals with a boarding house with some very interesting residents. Murders, madness, and suicides occur. Last up is The City, where the son of an exceptional singer explores his own gifts while crossing some very dangerous people. All these books are riveting, and once you start reading, it's hard to put the book down. This is Richie the T, sending it back to our host, Marietta, and Life Talk on WICC.
And we're back. Elvis is really playing. I didn't anticipate that. So I don't know if you heard me. He only had 60 seconds this time. So because it's all about learning. It's a challenge between the two of us. That's what it is. And what I love, Richie has great talents, and he's so knowledgeable about history and all different books. And I said, you know, I'm going to bring you in. But you never know how much time you have each week. So, you know, make it a little challenging. You can be 30 seconds, too. He hasn't had 30 seconds. So anyway, Teresa, are you with us?
I am.
Good.
And I just want to say that's a great skill to be able to say, okay, you got 60 seconds, and then to do it in 60 seconds. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah. And see, I love Richie because he goes... he has the knowledge, and why not really share it with people? But then, you know, make it a challenge. And you can say a lot in 60 seconds, also in 30 seconds. And a whole life story in 3 minutes. We've done all of that. I mean, not with Richie, but here, you know, we do it all the time when I make commercials and infomercials. So anyway, we're talking to Teresa Crissy. And my question is, going forward, what's in you know, what's happening with you? I know you just finished a book.
Yes, I just finished a book. My vision is that I'm going to be doing like book parties online and book talks online. I would love for this book to kind of create groups for people to come around and use this book as some type of healing for them. I don't know how I'm going to create that, but that's kind of what's percolating in my mind right now. I am in seminary. I have 2 years to go before I'm actually a minister, but I currently, as a licensed Unity teacher, I'm teaching classes through our church. I do a lot of speaking at our church, and that's really where I'm headed. Although I still have my chair massage business and my wellness business, that's really going online now with companies that are wanting to do self-care with their employees, bringing them together online in Zoom to help create that connection that they're not getting by not going to work anymore, but also teaching some classes to corporations online. And then ultimately, probably going to be teaching other classes that I'm actually creating. I have a couple of them in my mind that I want to create to help do some healing for people. Mm-hmm. Some of them will be done in workshop environments, and some of them will be done like on a week to week.
Yeah.
And right now, that's what my vision is.
Yeah. We had 3 emails coming in. I just want to read a couple of them. Kathy from Richfield writes, every time I have to give a presentation at work, I feel sick before and after. I work in a large dental clinic, and we have weekly meetings. So what can I do to feel better, and how can I learn? Because I really feel I'm not giving it my best, and I do want to keep my job. So, well, I think you should find out, what you're feeling, what fears are inside of you, and what your belief system is saying, and address it head on. So, Kathy, I hear you. I really hear you. So... what is the name of your book, Teresa?
The name of my book is From Stress to Blessed, the TLC Guide to Living an Authentic Life from Your Essence.
From Stress to, what is it?
From Stress to Blessed.
Blessed.
B-L-E-S-S-E-D. Yeah.
Got you. So, and when will that come out?
Well, it's actually, you can get it on Amazon right now. I'm doing a soft launch the first week of October, and then I'm doing a full launch on November 11th.
Oh, maybe Richie Tati will give that to Rita, me smiling, and we'll do 30 seconds on it. Did you read it front to back? Yes, I did. I need more time. No, 30 seconds. So that's great. How much is the book, Teresa?
$14.99.
Thank you. Well, I definitely want to get a copy of it. How much time do we have left, Rich? We have 1 minute. So I want to thank all our listeners tonight. Thank you for being with us. I am sure we were able to share, and I'm sure there's something that you learned from from this hour. Teresa, I want to thank you for being on with me tonight and sharing your journey. And I hope to see you again real, real soon, especially in our segments, monthly segments. What is it? Over 50, Richie to the T? No. It's body movement after 50. It's all about body movement after 50. So I would love to have you a part of that. So I want to thank you. Have a great week, everybody. Have a good week, Teresa. I talk to you soon. And we'll be on back on October 4th because the Yankees are playing next Sunday. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Teresa. I appreciate it. Take care. Bye now.